My guest today is Dr. Vita Andrus, who began her nursing career in 1973. She is a former international director and president of the American Holistic Nurses Association, and she co-created the certificate program in holistic nursing for the AHNA. Vita serves on the advisory board for the Advanced Practice Nursing Program at New York University and is a senior consultant educator at the Birch Tree Center for Healthcare Transformation. She recently co-authored a chapter in the American Journal of Nursing's 2002 Book of the Year, Holistic Health Healing, and she is the 2004 recipient of the Holistic Nurse of the Year Award, given to her from the American Holistic Nurses Association. Vita, it is a great pleasure and a privilege to have you with us today.
Oh, it's my delight to be with you, Georgiana.
Well, you have the best story. This show is dedicated to telling stories and telling nursing stories. And yours is just one for the books, because I think it really covers the spectrum of the experience that many nurses have of dedicating themselves to this wonderful vocation, going into this great healing art, and yet coming across some things that can be very discouraging or can be, unfortunately something they never anticipated they would experience in nursing. So if you would start at the very beginning from how you first desired and focused in on getting into the nursing profession when you were in high school, to what happened after graduation from school and how you ultimately left nursing for a period of almost 10 years.
Well, yes, it is a story, as we all have stories. And my desire in high school was to be of service and to help people be as vibrant and energetic and clear focused as they could in their lives. And I knew that healthcare as a generic discipline would be a good fit and a good alignment with the desires that I had to assist people in their healing and their own transformation and their own awareness and consciousness raising. So I went through nursing school as undergrad at the University of Miami in Miami, Florida, went right on for a master's degree at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and began working in family practice for about 3 years, and then relocated to Connecticut, where I worked at a Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, as a nurse practitioner in their health services. And I was very committed, very focused, very present with patients and then with students. And then there was an awareness as I was awakening to my own spirituality, my own path, and my own heart. I recognized in my second year of working at Wesleyan University within the infirmary that my heart and spirit were not being nurtured within nursing any longer, that I was working as a nurse practitioner, doing what I was supposed to do, and at the same time, something was not singing in my heart. And I know that when something isn't singing in my heart, it means that my spirit is yearning for something else in life. So as you indicated in your introduction, I did make a choice consciously to part from the profession, and I did a range of different things over the course of about 9 years, at which point I relocated to Western Massachusetts, where I've now been living for 21 years. And within 24 hours of arriving here, as is the synchronicity and the perfection of the divine, someone handed me a catalog from Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and there was going to be a weekend workshop for nurses who had lost their way in nursing. And I attended that weekend and got reignited with passion for what nursing was in my life, and also got introduced to the American Holistic Nurses Association through the course of that weekend. So sometimes you have to step back and take space and find your heart's purpose, your personal legend, if you will, once again. And when it comes to clarity, to listen carefully to the messages and to move with what you hear. So the workshop at Omega was a return for me to what my heart had been calling for, and with gratitude, the realignment with nursing drew me to the American Holistic Nurses Association, which has been a life raft for me and for many, many, many nurses over the course of its lifetime, which has been nearly 25 years now.
Wow. Well, who was actually teaching the course out there? It sounds like it was a powerful, transformational experience for you. And I know that there are so many nurses, as you know, who are really in the same situation you found yourself in those many years ago. How was it that the people that were at the weekend were able to really make such a difference? Could you share with us some of the things that they were inviting you and the rest of the students to really consider?
The woman who was the facilitator for that program is Susan Luck, and she was living in New York City at the time. She's relocated to Florida over the last several years or so. And what I awakened to, Georgiana, was that nursing wasn't about what you did. It was about who you were. And that was what was so critical for me. Yes, of course, nursing is about what we do. It's the science of nursing. It's the technical skills. It's all of the things that are absolutely critical to have a foundation in and have expertise in order to practice nursing as we know it. However, for me, and I think for many and many more in the years to come, nursing is not simply about what you do. It's about who you are, how you present yourself, bringing your heart and your spirit in alignment with your soul's purpose, which is to be present for, to care for others who are in need of our service. And what that weekend awakened in me is that there was hope, that there was an organization, that there were others out there who had also left the profession. Matter of fact, there were 45 of us that weekend.
That's a lot.
And to gather that many together who found their way home again was very, very powerful. And I've maintained some important connections from that weekend to this day, because we all had lost our way and found our way once again as we came into community, which is, I think, the most powerful essence of all is community.
Well, you've brought up so many different points that we want to speak to all of them, but importantly, you have taken up the banner of healthcare transformation to make better environments for not only nurses, but for patients and doctors and everyone in the healthcare field, and we want to talk a great deal about that. Could you start us off by talking about the wonderful Birch Tree Center that you are part of and have been for many years?
Oh, I'd be glad to. The Birch Tree Center for Healthcare Transformation is located in Florence, Massachusetts, which is the western part of the state. And this organization is an educational corporation that is dedicated to assisting nurses in, well, really the short of it is to find their way home to their hearts and spirit of nursing once again. So many nurses, because of bureaucracies, because of managed care, because of the paperwork we have to do, because of so many influences that I know others on Nurse Radio have spoken about in the past, nurses recognize that there is something missing in their heart alignment with their work. So a lot of what we do at the Birch Tree Center is to help nurses find their way home through a series of educational programs that we offer. We have a one-day program called Reawakening the Heart, Caring and Renewal in Nursing Practice that we bring right into the institution. We offer contact hours for it, and it's a wonderful day-long combination of didactic and experiential opportunities that help nurses in their institutions begin to develop a relationship with what holistic nursing is and also what some of the integrative modalities are. The other program that we offer in both institutions as well as for individuals in retreat sites around the country is our Integrative Healing Arts program. And that's a four-session program. It's a certificate program that takes our one-day program and really brings it into basically a 12-month experience where nurses dive into their own personal truth. They have opportunities, yes, to develop a range of different modality skills, but the real core essence of it is to help nurses remember what nursing is for them and to find their way back to the alignment of heart and spirit through their presence, through their intention, through loving kindness, through compassion, and to through a broad brush stroke as well as some of the finer details to place attention upon the core essence of who they are, not only as nurses, but as human beings in this world. So it's about transformation within healthcare. It's about transformation of the human being, of the nurse, and also by the ripple effect and by extension, who we are on this planet in terms of a global community of loving beings.
Well, the work you're doing is so remarkable and so critically necessary at this point in time. What you're describing is, I think, so universal also, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a nurse, a doctor, an airline pilot. I think that all people long. I think it was Henry David Thoreau said, there's no greater longing than the longing to be oneself in the very deepest spiritual, psychological, emotional, and intellectual sense of the word. And I think that nursing is so unique because not only does it allow for all of those skills to be engaged, but it is such a wonderful vehicle for the deep development of self and of soul. So much congratulations on the work that you're doing and the award. You are the 2004 Holistic Nurse of the Year, which I believe is the highest award that can be granted to a specialty nurse. Is that correct?
Well, in the holistic nursing specialty, it is the highest award that can be awarded to a nurse who has placed attention on holistic nursing in their personal life, their professional realm, and also their relationship with the American Holistic Nurses Association. And it is my absolute pleasure and delight to hold the space for holistic nursing over the course of this next year, which is what the intention of this award is. I mean, it's both an award, as we think of an award, and it's also an award which is holds as a special manifestation a sculpture. And each Holistic Nurse of the Year receives what's called the Open Heart, which is a pink marble sculpture that is shaped like a heart, but it also has in the center of it a heart-shaped opening to it. And that sculpture is in my living room, and I look at it every day to help me remember what my intention is and what my purpose is as the 2004 Holistic Nurse of the Year and as a human being.
What a beautiful visual thing for you to be gifted to have as a reminder and a companion on your year-long journey as the outstanding holistic nurse and example for all of us to take a look at what it means to live and to be very mindful and very present to each one of us and to ourselves. Vita, we have been talking for over 14 minutes, which means that we've got to take a break. We're going to take a very short break so that we can have our public service announcement. And when we come back, we'd love to talk about the grant that the Birch Tree was awarded from the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation, which is quite wonderful and remarkable and will allow you to do so much wonderful work. So no one go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Vita Andrus.
Hi. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So call 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
Each night, thousands of kids in America are sent to bed without dinner. Not because they did anything wrong, but because many families don't have enough money to pay the bills and buy food. The simple fact is, one in five kids in America faces hunger. You can help by calling 1-800-FEED-KIDS or by visiting feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Do you know what a child who can't read grows up to be? A statistic.
I know I should read to my son more, but I'm just too tired.
Well, how tired will you be of getting notes from school that your child can't keep up with the class? 2 out of 3 African-American fourth graders are struggling to read. Reading to your child now for just 15 minutes a day can make a lifetime of difference. To get Read and Rise, a free booklet on how you can help your child become a good reader, call 1-866-522-READ. A public service message brought to you by the National Urban League and the Ad Council.
And we're back. We're talking to Dr. Vida Andrus, who is the 2004 Outstanding Holistic Nurse of the Year and has a remarkable background and a remarkable contribution that she is making to nursing and to healthcare across the board. Vida, before the break, we were mentioning the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation grant and what this is going to allow you and Birch Tree to do. If you would tell us all about it, how did the whole thing evolve, and what does this opportunity provide for Birch Tree to be able to do?
The Robert Woods Johnson Foundation grant was a $265,000 grant that we were awarded in collaboration with an institution in the state of New Jersey. There's a relationship between the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant and the New Jersey Health Initiatives. And we've had a long-term relationship with the Valley Hospital, which is located in Ridgewood, New Jersey. We have brought our Integrative Healing Arts program to that institution. And it's been very clear that the participants who have attended and completed that 12-month program have made some significant changes in how they practice the art of nursing. Some of it's the focus each day of setting an intention, of remembering that their presence is the core essence of healing and transformation for themselves, for their institution, for their patients, the families, other healthcare providers, and for the broader hospital in general. So when there was the recognition that those nurses who completed the program had made such significant change in their practice, and by the ripple effect that the people who they worked with, their colleagues, were also making changes, and then the Prescani scores were the indicators. The Prescani scores had been going up on the units where these nurses had been working. That caught the eye, of course, of the chief nurse executive, Linda Coco. And when the opportunity for this Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant came along, Linda got in contact with Marie Shanahan, who is the president and CEO of the Birch Tree Center for Healthcare Transformation, and said, let's get this grant going. Let's see what we can do.
Well, yeah, and it sounds very much like a lot of initiatives that I know you're very familiar with and seem to be growing out of the holistic health and the holistic nursing in particular movement. I know that you are friends with several people, especially Lucia Thornton, who, in fact, I believe that her initiative, the model of whole person caring, was part of the Norman Cousins Award for 2004 at the Three Rivers Hospital. And it sounds as if there are a bunch of you, meaning holistic nurses out there, who are creating these phenomenal initiatives and models by which healthcare transformation is really looking like a reality, because obviously your organization, not one organization can achieve it all. So it's important that there are a group of you across the country in different places that are actually making this happen.
Absolutely.
But getting back to the wonderful work you've done in New Jersey, now clearly you're demonstrating that when we bring a consciousness of intentionality, of compassion, of self to the workplace, that this is what all people are looking for, whether it's the CEO, whether it's the secretary or the janitor or other nurses or patients, that we as human beings need to get back to this compassionate, mindful, respectful presence. Would you please speak to that and how that has informed how you've developed these programs at Birchtree? And could you tell us what you've got in the future for healthcare transformation as well?
Sure. I would say that the real essence of the Integrative Healing Arts program that we've brought into Valley Hospital, that we've brought into other institutions, is to help nurses remember that they make a difference, and that if it's your way of being that's important, then practicing kindness, practicing keeping heart open and alignment of heart and mind is absolutely critical. And what we have seen with our participants is such tremendous change in who they are in the world. And there's no way, Georgiana, to ever quantify what the ripple effect can be of who we are in the world. So as we make changes, everyone we touch, and as you said, whether it's the janitor, whether it's a colleague, whether it's the person in the checkout line at the grocery store, the gas station, it doesn't matter. Our children, it doesn't matter who those individuals are. It's who we are, how we present ourselves, that's going to influence others in, and we have choices, in an affirming manner, or in a manner that is without intentionality. And so what we have been intentionally doing in our programs is to help nurses, number one, remember the importance of self-care. Because as we care for ourselves, we become models of that for our children, for our patients, for our colleagues, and beyond.
Don't we often forget that? Isn't that something that we often forget in the course of our day or the course of our life? That, and it seems almost unfair in a way, but we can only experience the return from the intention and the effort that we put out. If we're looking for happiness, if we're looking for fulfillment, it really has to start with us. And I say unfair because when we're born, we don't get a guidebook or we don't get a manual of how life works. So it takes a little while to figure that out, and sometimes we forget, don't we?
Well, and that's why I used the word remember earlier on in our interview, because we have it all inside us. We already know what is right action, what is right alignment. We've lost our way. And so some of what I believe is critical, and I know the American Holistic Nurses Association is proponent of it. I know the work here at Birchtree. I know that the work that Lucia Thornton's doing. I know that many holistic nurses recognize the critical nature of remembering that the core essence of all of our being on this planet is how we present ourselves, to come from a place of unconditional love, compassion, loving kindness. And if indeed we recognize that as a lifelong practice, then we don't have to, you know, kind of get down on ourselves if we, quote, don't have it all together and we're not all perfect yet, because we are perfect. We are if we could be any better, we would be better. And what we recognize, too, I think, is that in our alignment with transformation, see, the planet is calling for healing, and there's many, many ways for us to respond. Nurses, because of our position and our position power, are prime candidates to model ways of being in the world through our self-care and through who we are with our patients and with one another. You know, our nursing profession is not necessarily what I would consider the healthiest of professions, because We have not come into a unitary, integral relationship with one another. You know, nurses often get, quote, artificially separated, depending on what letters they have after their name, how many years they've been in school. And you know what? All of that, from my perspective, is irrelevant. It's about how we are with one another in this world that's going to help this planet heal and return to and remember the core essence of love. This planet was born in love, and we are in wonderful opportunities as nurses, whether it's within healthcare institutions as we know them or private practices, entrepreneurs. It doesn't matter where we are. We have opportunities to help people find their way home to love once again.
Well, that is a wonderful thought to hold as we're going into our second break, Vida. When we come back, we need to talk about the business of nursing, because where all of this wonderful opportunity and this wonderful intentionality kind of butts heads often, as you know, is with the business and the bottom line of healthcare and of nursing. And we also want to talk about the wonderful work that's going on with Carla Moriano down at New York University. You're part of that. We want to hear about that as well. So we're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back for more of Dr. Vida Andrus.
AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America, with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, you're the new tech support guy, right?
Right.
Dave Lewis, man. Good to meet you.
You too.
You know, the way these things crash, you're going to be busy.
Eh, that's all right. Hey, listen, I'm going to hit the men's room, okay? I'll see you around, I'm sure.
Okay, but you can't go in there.
Executive washroom, huh?
No. Can't you see the sign? That bathroom is whites only.
Whites only?
Yeah. Just one second. Hey, Karen, where's that colored bathroom again? If you go through that exit, there's a staircase. I think it's up on 3.
Okay. Thanks.
Imagine what America would be like today if Martin Luther King never had a dream. It's time to honor his memory. Visit buildthedream.org to learn about the Martin Luther King National Memorial Project in Washington, D.C. You can help him stand among our nation's heroes and preserve his message of hope for future generations. Visit buildthedream.org. Together, we can help make history.
This is Sam Hornish Jr. As a champion IndyCar driver, I've had many proud moments, but one of the things I'm proudest of is being part of the Shriners. Shriners Hospitals offer kids with orthopedic problems or severe burns world-class medical care that's totally free of charge. And their centers of excellence combine progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
And we are back. We are talking to Vida Andrus, who is, without question, one of the leaders in the healthcare transformation movement in the United States. And Vida, before the break, we were talking about several things, and of course, mostly the reality of our consciousness and what we need to understand about making change and being role models to others and for ourselves, actually, in order to affect the kind of quality of life and the quality of care we're all looking for. Now, we have several things to talk with you about in these next two segments. One is your thoughts and your experience of the kind of collective, broad scale, wide spectrum consciousness shift that's taking place, even in the most conservative medical environments. Can you speak to us about what you're noticing in this capacity regarding integrative and whole person care?
Well, I've seen a huge shift within the last 5 years. I've been involved in this work for, this is my 21st year of teaching holistic nursing. And when we first began in the 1980s, things were pretty slow. You know, it was challenging to stay in alignment with purpose, I can tell you. But I tell you, one of the things also that helped me a great deal through those more challenging times is to remember the whole story about the date tree. And the woman who plants the date tree knows that that tree will not produce dates for 80 years. And that story is important because the work that we're doing today, we will not see the full manifestation of it probably in our lifetimes. However, it is still absolutely critical to take one day at a time, one step at a time, with intention and with clarity of purpose, and to keep the big picture, your vision statement. Your vision statement is your statement to the universe of what it is that you intend to manifest in your life. So the woman who plants the date tree knows that it'll be generations hence who will pick the dates and get nourished by them. In the short run, however, I do know that we are living in challenging times when we look at health care. And so within the last 5 years or so, I've seen a great leap forward, if you will, in regard to the integrative modalities being brought into healthcare, into nursing, and into other disciplines in healthcare. However, I've also seen some issues that manifest with it as well, Georgiana, and that is, for example, some of the complementary care centers and departments that have opened in major healthcare institutions around the country have also closed.
Oh yes, that has been noted, I'm sure, by many of us. That
very much so. Yeah. And so then we have to be very astute into asking, why is that true? First of all, a lot of those healthcare complementary care departments and centers have opened based on an old paradigm medical model. And what we're seeing is that that model is not in alignment with the new consciousness. That doesn't mean that you throw out the baby with the bathwater. You don't throw out the entire medical model, of course. However, my sense and my projection is that as we look at leadership, as we look at business and come from a place of new paradigm consciousness, the success of integrative care will be far greater than it has been in the past. And no doubt some of those models are in the process of being developed and brought alive in a range of different institutions. I believe that the work that we're doing, for example, through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant at Valley Hospital is based in that consciousness, in the consciousness of transformational leadership, in the consciousness of whole person care, and also in the consciousness of alignment with healing and transformation through, as I've said a number of times already in this interview, through loving kindness and compassion. It is about intentionality. And so I feel that we are at a turning point, a choice point, and that's what holistic nursing theorist Margaret Newman speaks about. We have reached a choice point where I would think we're fairly close to hitting a bottom in terms of what our healthcare system is all about. And in time, we'll recognize that maybe over the next 80 years or so, that things really have to change in regard to the business element of it so that we can indeed recognize the human element of what healthcare is about.
Well, isn't this where so much of the headbutting is going on? First, I'd like to backtrack a second and just say, from, you know, my own personal experience, I think the way people are educated in our culture has a profound effect on the damping down of consciousness. We are educated in a way that does not invite us to use our intuition, to use our compassion, our emotion, our spirituality, if you will. And so, in addition to changing consciousness in the actual hands-on environments, it also appears that there needs to be a transformation in education. And we're going to speak to that with you in a moment, dealing with what you're doing at NYU, which is very exciting. But regarding the headbutting portion, because this is a serious drawback in terms of trying to make changes and trying to make something transform itself when you've got a very huge, top-heavy population of people who are invested in this not happening. Can you speak to that in very general terms about your experience of coming up against the machine, as people like to call it?
Well, what comes to mind when you bring it up, Georgiana, is that most of our education processes and most of our institutions, whether they be healthcare or any other discipline, is still based in a mechanistic model that perpetuates separation, that perpetuates an illusion of separation, and is dualistic in regards to separating the mind from the body, from the spirit. And if indeed that's true, and I do believe it's true based on my experience and also on conversations I've had with so many people over the years, then the headbutting is one of the manifestations of that artificial separation. The focus becomes profit, the focus becomes power, the focus becomes greed. Also, the focus becomes staying in business. I mean, we have to be realistic when we look at business. However, if your consciousness through your way that you look at the world is that of separation, for example, if you're looking at hierarchies, there's all sorts of separation in hierarchies. You've got your CEO, you've got your CFO, you've got your nurse managers, you've got, you know, your team players, you've got your staff, you've got all sorts of, quote, separations that as we move along in recognizing that we're looking at a opportunity, an ontological shift. The ontological shift, which is a lot of what Gene Watson, who's a holistic nursing theorist, speaks about, is it's about our way of being. Because we have made some steps forward from looking at the world dualistically and mechanistically to looking at it more holistically. Our atomic physicists, our quantum mechanics, the way we look at the world is different today than it was even 20 years ago. However, the ontological shift is about who we are, our way of looking at the world, our place there, our alignment with our, as you said before, our intuition, our spirituality, the relationship of person to person, of person to planet. You know, our relationship with the healing healthcare is not disconnected from our relationship with healing the woes of this planet, both environmentally as well as energetically.
Yes, but let's get back to that comment that you made about the failure of the integrated health centers. Let's talk about that for a second, because up here in Massachusetts, in the New England area, there are six or seven different places that have opened and made an attempt to integrate and, of course, have failed. And being involved in some of the process of that myself, I'll tell you that I think one of the things, I'm sure you'd agree with this, that goes wrong is that you take a model, you take a consciousness that says, well, we want to do this because we want a piece of the business. We want a piece of the multi-billion dollars that's being spent out of pocket. And so what we want to do is we want to take, you know, the paradigm of medical care, and we want to somehow drop that on top of this holistic or integrated way of giving people choices. Isn't part of this that we're not organically conditioned, we're not invited, we're not processed, we're not educated to see that unless there's an authentic openness and an authentic receptivity intellectually as well as emotionally, that we really can't integrate these two things? It's like yin and yang. It's like you know, the law of opposites. When we start trying to do something like that, it has to fail because it's inauthentic.
Well, it's inauthentic, and at the same time, what's coming to mind is that the dualistic nature of the way that so many people greet the world continues to perpetuate the illusion of separation. Part of that illusion of separation manifests through money, through profit, through the desire to you know, as you said before, make basically millions of dollars. We go back to the Eisenberg studies from the early and then the late 90s and recognize the amount of out-of-pocket monies that the American public is willing to put into receiving integrative care. And you have to recognize that there are many healthcare providers who would like to take those, you know, millions and millions of dollars and have them be part of their pocket lining routine. I was speaking at the NIH conference on nursing and medical care in 1996, and there were, and I don't mean to place any negative energy regarding physicians, but there were physicians there who were talking about how can we, meaning physicians, get those billions of dollars into our pockets rather than having it go to integrative care practitioners.
Right, precisely, and I think that this is at the core. You talked about this, and I think very eloquently, you talked about the elitism, about how we have got to change the consciousness. Unless we begin to realize that we are interdependent beings that need and are very drawn to one another, that when we forget that, then we are given over to this kind of greed and elitism, and which brings us into talking about the wonderful work that is going on at NYU, what you're doing and what the rest of your colleagues are doing there. So we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we'd love to close the program with you talking about this terrific new model of education, because personally, as an educator, I believe that this is a critical missing piece in healthcare transformation, that we have to start in the nursing school, we have to start in the medical school, we have to change consciousness of the people who are going to be going out and doing medicine. So when we come back, let's talk about NYU and all that's going on down there. We'll be right back.
I'm coming to get you!
Kids, it's getting dark.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a real true life mother of five, and I'd like to tell you about a cause that I've spent nearly the last 4 years ignoring, the futures of kids in my community. How do I do it? Oh, it's easy. I just don't show my support for after school programs. And here's the best part. It takes absolutely no effort. All you have to do is sit there, in your car, in your home, wherever it's most convenient to do nothing. After school programs are available in less than a third of the schools in the U.S., and my indifference is helping to ensure that they'll get even less funding. Hey, we all know what that means. Less chances for kids to grow and learn. Right, kid?
Right, Mom.
So won't you please join me in ignoring children everywhere by not calling 1-866-KIDS today or not logging on to afterschoolnow.org.
After school programs. Ignore them and they'll go away. A public service message brought to you by the After School Alliance, the Moth Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so what do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away.
Yeah, I gotta know.
And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers in their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. All right, so what do you get when you cross a barber and a chef? A meal with all the trimmings. And that's what they're serving at a local youth center. Local merchants came together with their community coalition to make people's lives a little better. Now, what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, happier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So with your civic group, club, PTA, even your employer, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Hey, you seen Ronnie lately?
No, so?
Well, I hear he's totally buff now.
Ronnie buff?
Totally history buff.
Whoa, here he comes now.
Hey, lovelies. You know, I was just thinking about the founding fathers.
Wow.
Tough call in the 1780s about who gets authority. Shaky new federal government or the established power of the 13 states. Kind of makes you think. Well, gotta go.
Smooth. He is so buff.
so history buff.
Wow, but how?
He's been working out at LOC.gov, Library of Congress website. Whole American experience in film, photos, music, and fun-filled facts.
Whoa, check out Clarence.
Hey, love to talk, but I gotta go exercise my mind at LOC.gov.
Swoon!
Want to get really history buff? Visit LOC.gov, the Library of Congress website, and find out more about history, America's great national pastime. A public service message brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
And we're back for our last segment. We're talking to Dr. Vita Andros. And before the break, we were talking about the wonderful and unique model of a master's program that has been created down at New York University in holistic nursing. It's a advanced nurse practitioner program. And Vita, you have been part of that. You're on the advisory board. You've been very much involved in crafting this new way of educating nurses. Let's talk about that. And during the break, you and I were talking about the possibility of transforming not only being present to people after they come out of school and to help them get back to remembering why they went in, but changing the educational model to include becoming more aware of our intentionality. So if you would speak to this whole wonderful topic.
So the whole wonderful topic is very simple, and that is that from birth, if not prenatally, the consciousness of presence, the consciousness of intentionality needs to be taught. It's that simple. Our educational model in our country is of the mechanistic paradigm of dualism. It continues to perpetuate separation. It perpetuates separation also of the human being from the planet. And most of our nursing school education is pretty much the same model. It's mechanistic, it perpetuates separation, and it teaches, in many ways, the separation of mind, body, spirit. Now, a lot of nursing educators would not agree with that, and I understand that nursing, for the most part, does recognize mind, body, spirit, and yet the way in which it is presented to students is one of separation. So what's been beautiful about the model that's been created at NYU in the Advanced Practice Holistic Nurse Practitioner Program is it's not about separations. It doesn't deny that there's an element of medical model in it. However, the holistic foundation of that program is somewhat unique. And there are more and more programs that are nursing programs, undergraduate as well as graduate programs in nursing that are beginning to develop their curriculum through a model of holism and integration. The American Holistic Nurses Certification Corporation endorses a range of different programs. I think there's maybe 10 or 12 programs now that are endorsed by that organization that are holistic in their curricular design. That gives me hope, Georgiana, because that means that there is a consciousness, there is a desire to make change, and there is a recognition that the way in which nursing has been taught since perhaps its inception has been one of a mechanistic model. So I know that if children are modeled for in a way that helps them see the world where they are partners in this global village, then they will grow up seeing the necessary change in consciousness from the way that the world has been for so long. We can look from, you know, about 4500 BC when we began with a dominator model due to the Bronze Age and the institution of weaponry and power over and all that goes with having ammunition and weapons, and see that in the last 30 or 40 years we have begun to see some shifting on this planet from the dominator model to much more of a partnership model. That partnership model is one of community, one of collaboration, one of inclusion, one of recognizing global reality. And gratefully, NYU and some other nursing schools are beginning to say, wait a minute, the way that we've taught nursing over the years is not conducive for holistic care within our lives and within the institutions where we work. So to have nurse practitioners who are learning that way of being and practicing from that model perspective is very, very powerful work that's being done. It's not unlike the work that we're doing through Birch Tree, that others are doing in other healthcare educational institutions. It's really, to me, critical that the way in which our education is presented to nursing students be one of holistic consciousness.
Well, it's so terribly important, all that you've said, and it kind of brings up the comments by Philip Slater, who wrote the very powerful book, Pursuit of Loneliness. Our culture, and I think that this is an important thing for us to consider as we are electing our politicians and our presidents and our senators and everything else, that we live in a culture that pursues isolation. You know, we want to live in gated communities. We want to be the best, the brightest. We want to be better, smarter, bigger, stronger, richer. And that this separation, as you so eloquently spoke to, creates a loneliness and a desperation that we're beginning to really see, I think, the fallout from. Don't you think a lot of what we're seeing, the desire to reconnect, the desire to make and create equity-based relationships, whether it's at work or personally, don't you think that we've hit that, as you referred to Margaret Newman, you said that she talked about choice point. Don't you think we're at a choice point now, that we have a hunger in the belly, so to speak, that we've isolated ourselves and competed so much that we really find ourselves to be alone?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that Larry Dossey wrote, and I don't remember which of his books he wrote it in, but he speaks about that Western medicine has placed its attention, you know, on curing disease when really the core essence is about spiritual longing. And I like that word longing that you use, because to me that's, there's so much sadness, and we're looking at such a rise in depression, the use of different chemicals to, you know, create ease in our lives, all sorts of things, alcoholism. We're seeing a rise of so much dysfunction on our planet, and I believe that much of that is due to that spiritual longing, due to the isolation, due to the disconnection, due to the unhappiness that arises when you feel, as you've said before, that you're alone in the world, and that is an illusion. So I believe that, unfortunately, we sometimes manifest very extreme events in our world in order to help us remember that we are not here in isolation from one another. The tragic incident of 9/11 is an example. When I speak with people from New York City, they recognize such a tremendous change in how people relate to one another since that event. Why? Because prior to that event, it was each for their own. What that event helped people see is, you know what, we are in this together. And I don't want any more 9/11s any more than anybody else does. But it may take more 9/11s in our world in order to help us see that this is the choice point, that we are at a critical stage in our evolution on this planet, that we must come together as a unified community in order for the healing to occur. This planet is calling for our attention, for help, for healing, for transformation, for coming together as partners in a process of connection and enlightenment.
I cannot imagine a more eloquently said statement that would reinforce the reason we have this radio program and the reason that we're talking today, to remember, reinvigorate, and create a renaissance of relationship-centered care. That's our mission statement. And your work is just a ideal example of that mission statement for all of us in healthcare, to remember who we are, to reinvigorate our commitment to being present to one another, and to create a renaissance of the heart-centered, whole person, relationship-centered care that we all long for and that we all need and want and deserve. Vida, you are just a star in the arena of leadership, and we're very delighted, excited, and very happy that people like you are out there making changes, committing yourself to creating a better healthcare system, and we thank you collectively for sharing all of it with us, for being who you are, and for coming on the show and giving us your time and your energy and your insight and your wisdom. And thank you so much, and thank you especially for doing it a second time. So we really appreciate it.
Well, it's been my pleasure to spend time with you again today. Thank you so much for this time.